Well, have you ever been in the backcountry trying to bag a peak and found that there's already a small set of footsteps ahead of you? They might belong to a wolverine. In our region, the critter is pretty elusive. Seeing them, let alone researching them, can be a difficult task. So when biologist Doreen Hostleitner set out to study them, her team included information gathered by everyday people. And what they found made a big change. Reporter Keely Bartlett has a story.
The first time I saw a wolverine, I was skeetering in the Yukon, and we were coming back to our cabin, and I was really looking forward to eating a blueberry bagel that I knew I had left in the cabin, and the wolverine bust out of the door of the cabin carrying my bag of blueberry bagels in its mouth. My name is Doris Hostleitner, and I'm a wildlife biologist. And I also teach applied ecology at Selkirk College.
Most of us have never even seen a wolverine, much less had one steal our breakfast. So I asked Doris to describe the seldom seen creature.
A wolverine is actually a large weasel, and it is about the size of a medium-sized dog, so 35 to 45 pounds. And they're usually bicolored, so they're usually a dark brown or almost black color with lighter colorations. And they have a large, bushy tail. They're really an interesting animal to study because they use just huge amounts of area. So they move in a way that not many animals move, and they do it in winter. So I'm a northern girl. I came from the Yukon, and I spent much of my childhood on skis and my adulthood as well. And so it's just fascinating to study an animal that moves in that way in winter in that kind of mountainous terrain. That, for me, has always been one of the reasons I'm so intrigued by them. And then just the fact that there is so little known. It's neat in this day and age where, you know, there's so much information on so many things to have this animal that has this mystery about it.
And so when Doris's former roommate and current biologist, Andrea Curtello, asked if she would be interested in starting the South Columbia Mountains Wolverine Project, Doris was naturally intrigued.
At first, we just wanted to fill an information gap. There was a lot of research being done all around us, to the north of us and in the parks and even to the south in the U.S. And really, there was nothing being done here in the South Columbia Mountains. We really needed to fill that knowledge gap. And it's evolved from there into trying to conserve the denning habitat, sort of the reproductive time of their lifestyle. The denning occurs sort of mid-February until mid-May, and they den in snow, so they're kind of unusual. They do look for like a feature, but they need persistent snow, so snow that will stay all the way until spring. And so some of what they're looking for is likely sort of high alpine tree-lined habitat, probably a north-facing slope, and they're also looking for areas that there's very little human connection. It's the one time that they're really vulnerable to any kind of human recreation or human use.
Trying not to disturb the very creature they were trying to conserve, the two biologists enlisted the help of technology, drones.
So these drones, we fly them at 100 meters above the ground. From a human ear, it sounds a little bit like a mosquito flying around. So it's a pretty small impact rather than hovering in a helicopter to look for a den or skiing or snowmobiling over top of a den. This way we can cover a lot of terrain with a machine, and the drone takes photos as it goes. We can look at the tracks on the ground, and we can then identify where they're denning. The wolverine can cover enormous amounts of terrain, and Andrea and I are just two people, and in we're talking about a massive area that we're looking at wolverines. So we're looking in the South Columbia Mountains, which includes the Selkirks, the Purcell Mountains, the Valhallas, and the Monashies. And for us to cover that kind of terrain is just impossible. So we look to Wolverine Watch to improve our sightings. We wanted to have people on the ground. People are now carrying around cell phones and they recreate in all these mountains. And if we could get them on board and have them submitting their observations of where and when they're seeing Wolverine, then we can start overlapping that with the information that we know on the habitat needs that the Wolverine has for denning and prioritize areas to search. That citizen science piece has been so important for us, and all the dens that we have now, every single one of them has been as a result of citizen science reports. We found that there were much fewer Wolverine than we anticipated, which was disappointing. But as a result, there has been a moratorium put on trapping in the Kootenai boundary. This is a direct result of our research, which showed that the current trapping rate was not sustainable. And we also were able to sort of model where we think Wolverine are going to be, which is huge because we can really pinpoint the valuable areas, in particularly these reproductive areas, I think we can have an impact on conservation. So we've been able to apply for conservation status on some of these areas. And in some areas in park, we've been able to create these special management zones. And those have proved to be really effective where we've had a repeat denning in one of those management zones. So I think that even just protecting sort of one den site at a time or one reproductive area at a time is going to have a large impact. You know, I'd like to see both being able to coexist, that there would be trapper harvest plus a sustainable Wolverine population. It's good to take a little bit of a break and just see if this is going to be a thing that rebounds the population.
And now that the South Columbia Mountains Wolverine Project has already seen some impacts based on its research, Doris and Andrea Curtello are getting ready for the upcoming winter.
We're getting Wolverine reports coming in that there is snow on the ground of tracks and even of sightings. And then Andrea and I come mid-January, early February, we'll start the actual on-the-ground fieldwork. We're also hosting a few workshops on how to recreate ethically in the Columbia Mountains. And so there are three of those occurring at the end of November and early December. We're hoping to gain a couple of things out of those meetings, an ethic of how to move in the backcountry from recreationists, and also inform them of the project and have these recreationists, again, be our eyes on the ground.
That was Nelson-based wildlife biologist Doris Hausleitner. With the help of information from backcountry recreationists, her Wolverine study made an impact on trapping regulations that came into effect this winter. And if you see a Wolverine or its tracks, you can help them protect by reporting your findings to Wolverine Watch. For those seminars on ethical recreation in the Columbia Mountains, you can find information at wolverinewatch.org.